I'm spending 70-80% of my time on people problems. We'll make decisions to be liked instead of respected. Do they get it? Do they want it? Are they really capable?
Welcome back to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Holman. I'm so excited to talk to you guys today and to bring you Robert White. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Jeff.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. So I'm excited to talk with you today. This is part of our Advisory Insights series. This is actually our first one. We're kicking off in February 2026. So we're going to see how this goes and bring, in addition to the stories that we're bringing about scaling CEOs and founders running into issues and solving those problems, we're bringing this Advisory Insights episode, a series to you so that you can actually get to meet some of the people that are also behind the scenes, maybe a little bit like me. I do the legal stuff and Robert and other people join and also provide services to CEOs. So you might find something here helpful for what, you know, issues you're dealing with in your company as a CEO today. So Robert, let's dig in. Today we're going to be talking about, I got my topic up and ready. So we're going to be talking about finding and fixing executive leadership misalignment in a scaling business. So, and you've got a perspective that you can bring to the show. But before we jump into your perspective about misalignment on leadership teams, give us a little bit of background about you and, you know, what's brought you here today.
Jeff, the quick summary is that at 27 years old, my life was a mess. I had had three heart attacks. I had a divorce that I felt horribly guilty about personally, and of course, didn't talk to anybody about it. And my little business was failing. And a friend went out to California. We were living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin then. And he went out to California to do one of the early human potential movement trainings called Mind Dynamics. He was in a similar business. He was a longtime friend. And I watched his life transform over the next 6 months. And while he's telling me, I've got to go to California, I've got to do this training. And I'm saying no and no and no and all kinds of resistance to it. And but he brought his enthusiasm, brought the training to Milwaukee, and I attended the first one that was held there, and my life changed for the better. And
it seems like there was a lot of maybe improvement to be had. No judgment here. We all go through things, but three heart attacks and a divorce and whatever else was going on, that's a lot to deal with just at that age.
Yeah, and all pretty unconscious about all of it. I was ambitious. I really wanted to succeed, but my life was a mess. And yeah. Over the following year after that training, which didn't mention money or business or building an organization or anything like that, I tripled my income in that first year. Yeah. And it went up 10 times the following year. I started right. making more money in a month than I had made in years. My relationships improved. I remarried. A whole bunch of really good things happened. And I started sending people to that training. I ended up as president of that company. I sold my business and took a 70% pay cut to become the president of Mind Dynamics and ran the business of that business, which took me into seven foreign subsidiaries in my 4 years there. Ownership changed. I quit. And it just didn't work for me anymore. But yeah. I founded a company called LifeSpring. I later sold that. It went on to have 17 training centers in the U.S. and a lot of success. Wow. 500,000 graduates. But I sold it and moved to Tokyo. So I've lived abroad 23 years of my working life. I built a company from zero to 240 full-time people. And
awesome.
That included 70 of these high-impact experiential trainers, that another 60 contract trainers that we used for peaks, mm-hmm. and in seven countries, 15 training centers, became the largest training company in Asia, the second largest in the world.
Wow.
So that's the good news part of the story. At 46, I retired, kind of. Moved to Aspen, Colorado, built the big house, bought a jet, did all of the nouveau riche things that the poor kid from the wrong side of the tracks do. You know, I found out there's a pattern there.
Oh, wow.
And lost control of my company, lost essentially $30 million. And worked with 1,800 corporations and 700,000 leadership training graduates. We did well, and lost it all. So I went back to work, and where I've focused in the last 20 years is working with the small and medium-sized growth companies, people like me. That's who I enjoy most working with, and particularly with their top teams, to get specific results and also to have some fun doing it.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's quite the journey you've been on, Robert.
It hasn't been boring.
It doesn't sound boring at all. In fact, you might be an episode, a CEO episode at some point with just the story of how you managed that growth of that business. But today we get to talk to you about leadership alignment, misalignment, how to find it and how to fix it. I imagine you've seen a bit of that along the way.
I learned it from experience, both what worked and then doing more of that, and what didn't work and hopefully stop doing that. There's an expression called a guy in a diner. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but
I have.
If you're in your 20s in Wisconsin, you're out drinking beer with your buddies, and then you maybe have a little too much, and then you end up at a diner to get a little food in you before you go to bed.
Okay.
And of course, it's the long, long counter, right? And the guy you're sitting next to is an expert about everything. And he wants to tell you about it. And the classic line is that he's a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yes, I've heard that phrase.
In the diner. About lots of subjects, I'm a guy in a diner.
Oh, okay.
But something I know something about is being an entrepreneur, building a business, what works and what doesn't work. And today with clients, I find that the filter that I like to ask people about is, are you focused, are you aligned, and are you committed?
And okay.
Your subject today is aligned, and that's a great piece of that. Focused refers to what's going to happen around here in the next 90 days. And, I've set longer term goals in my time. I've never seen them really be effective. To have a vision longer term, yes, but goals need to be pretty immediate and widely shared and committed to, focused, aligned, and committed. And committed is among the 8 principles that I've run my life on, my business on, that I'm attracted to. If your listeners want a copy of those, it's at extraordinarypeople.com. Sign up for free, please, and you'll get that and a full explanation of all of those 8 principles. But the most important is commitment. So back to alignment, back to your question.
Yeah.
I find that alignment is kind of a popular term today in the business press and media, but it's understood on the surface, not in depth, because there's a question that every leader, I believe, needs to ask, which is, okay, I'm supposed to create alignment around here. And the question is, alignment to what?
Okay.
The alignment requires some kind of the late
Stephen, a reference point.
Yeah. He called it true north. You can call it a lot of things. For me, it's alignment to your purpose, your vision, and your values.
Okay. So
have you, first of all, spent the time to come up with a statement of purpose, vision, and values for your organization? You can go online now, plug in a certain amount into AI, and then you'll get a formulaic thing. And then you put it on the coffee cups and you put it on a banner on the wall. And the CEO talks about it once a year, something like that. That's pretty cool. What I'm talking about is having your group create the purpose, vision, and values. Ideally facilitated by an outsider, someone like me, or someone like me that does this kind of work, and that you really own it, that everybody owns it from day one, and your purpose, your reason for existing. What is it that's unique about you? Your vision, that picture that maybe you'll never accomplish. I think the best visions are the ones that you won't accomplish it in your lifetime, but it's worth dedicating your life to. and then your values. You know, what are your core values that you're actually committed to living? So that's kind of how I've looked at those three things: focus, alignment, and commitment. And alignment is the one that is challenging because people can give kind of a surface level of commitment to, alignment, but not actually be living it. You know, there's an expression about catch people doing something right and in public and criticize in private. I think that truism is mostly true. Mm-hmm. It isn't just announcing it. It is maintaining it, enforcing it. And that's a pretty strong word.
What do you mean by that? You're talking about enforcing the commitment that you find, or enforcing, you know, the commitment when it's not there,
enforcing it when it's violated.
Okay.
When you're not acting in alignment.
So not just positive reinforcement, but you need to actually call out sometimes when stuff is not aligned.
Yes. And, you know, look, my clients, leaders, very smart people, very hardworking. I mean, they're amazing, amazing people. And yet most of them feel alone. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent 6 months during my semi-retirement in Aspen traveling with the late John Denver. And he has a song called Sweet Surrender. And in that song, there's a line where he says, "Lost and alone on a forgotten highway, traveled by many, remembered by few." And it goes on to dig deeper into that. And that's most of the leaders that I work with have some version of that going on. They feel alone. There's nobody they can talk to really, authentically, honestly. And they want to be liked because they're social animals. We all are. And whether we admit it or not, we'll make decisions to be liked instead of respected. And so that leader, in order to enforce alignment, needs to sometimes take a person or the entire organization on, and to do it with courage, with clarity, and with a commitment to that purpose, vision, and values himself or herself. Are you familiar with Patrick Bet-David?
I'm not.
He does a podcast, an extremely popular podcast for business people, and I'm kind of a fan. And recently he interviewed the founder, the founding CEO of Ritz-Carlton. Okay. And this guy's in his 90s now and sharp, sharp, sharp. And very, very clear about where he stands about business. And that's basically what he talks about, is that the way you hire, the way you train, the way you manage is by rigorous attention to an action around standards, around purpose. What I would say is purpose, vision, and values.
Yes.
His emphasis is on the values, but he talks a lot about purpose too.
That makes sense. How do you, I'm sorry.
It's a great interview.
Oh, great. I'll have to listen to it. How do you help a leader of one of these mid-sized scaling companies that's super busy? How do you help them, first of all, see the misalignment, and second of all, stop and, you know, have the time and energy to do something about that misalignment?
You know, I've been accused of being an amateur psychologist, and I have no training. And if somebody really needs a therapist, it's not me. But I think one of the things that they say is that to look at, when they're looking at a client, they look at what is the presenting problem versus what is the problem.
You're talking about, this is how a therapist would approach this issue. What's the presenting problem? What do I see on the surface, right? The
presenting problem is I'm spending 70-80% of my time on people problems. I'm losing key people. They're either talking about leaving or they're leaving or they left. People are making ridiculous salary or equity demands that make no sense to me. And yet somehow they've decided that's what's right and that's what you should do. I mean, those are presenting problems.
Okay.
particularly the amount of time you spend on drama, on broken agreement, on people having problems at home and they're bringing them to work, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the presenting problems. If you look underneath that, what you find is that, the book Traction talks about evaluating people in three areas. Number one is, do they get it? And I don't know that Gino Workman, the author of that book, would use this expression, but I will. Do they get purpose and vision and values?
Yeah.
You know, do they actually get it, live it? And then do they want it? That's the W. The JWC, the W is, do they want it? Or are they in the job to get some other job?
Okay.
Either in your company or outside. You know, is it a holding pattern? Because that person is not going to be contributing at 100%. And then finally, are they capable? And, you know, most leaders, I think, fall into the trap of just hiring for capability, at least what they think is capable. But you got to pay attention to all three. And then as you evaluate your leadership team, I think Gino is right about that, that you look at, do they get it? You know, are they in alignment with your purpose, vision, and values? Do they really want the job they're in right now? And
right.
then finally, are they really capable? Are they proving that with results?
Yeah.
So I think for most leaders, the way to get there, you know, my recommendation, and this is, you know, the line, never ask a barber if you need a haircut.
Yeah, you never know. never go to a surgeon unless you want surgery, right?
Yeah.
Same concept.
Surgeons do surgery.
Right.
Unfortunately, I've learned that a lot in my life. If you ask me, I'm going to say put people in a room with a talented facilitator that's been there and done that. Somebody with both the business experience, but a proven ability to get results. And then secondly, has some facilitation skills. So in my experience, putting the group in a room is better than coaching. Coaching is good for follow-up, not for a breakthrough.
So yeah, you're reminding me of the book I recently read, Patrick Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team. The CEO, the new CEO, puts the team in a room and essentially is look different words, but is looking for everybody to weigh in, everybody to buy in, and then everybody to perform in alignment with what they've weighed into and bought into. Right. So, sounds like a similar thing. How would you suggest to somebody who hasn't got that facilitator lined up yet? They're struggling with their team, or they think they are. They're seeing presenting problems at a minimum and wondering what the underlying problems might be. Like, what should they do to prepare their team to step into that room with a facilitated conversation and, you know, and understand why we're doing it, or what to expect when you're in there, or what to expect as a result coming out of it? Like how do you prepare a CEO to make that commitment on behalf of the team?
Well, first of all, you begin with yourself, not with the team.
Okay.
You start looking and getting input about how you're showing up in a leadership role in your own organization. And there are great books that can help. You can buy my book, Living an Extraordinary Life. You can certainly read a bit from Daniel Goleman, the guy that wrote about EQ.
Okay.
That's valuable. You can go to Gallup and take their Strength Finder test. I think maybe $100 or 150, something like that. Not expensive, and it you really get some insight in how your what works for you, what's your strength, but also areas of growth. You can reading Gino Workman's book which is more about management than leadership, but it's really good. It's really solid. Gino is one of those people that has been an entrepreneur, I think, most of his life, and his lessons are simple, straightforward, and when applied, they work wonderfully. And that management is not my strength, but I call on people like him when I have those kinds of challenges. People ask me about writing my book. And for 20 years, people said, you should write a book about your work. And I had a zillion really well-crafted excuses. The guy that teaches personal responsibility is very good at giving excuses, right? Just yes, they're more sophisticated and subtle. That's what I figured out about myself. But I found I did write the book, and I'm jealous of the late Stephen Covey, because he sold more than 25 million copies and I haven't. You know, that's the small part of me speaking. But one of the things that I noticed in my own organization is that my team, and you know, we thought we were the best at everything. You know, we were the answer. It was a cult, or you know, we were believers. And what they said, which is true, is that 1/3 of Stephen's Seven Habits book, the one I'm so jealous of, his sales, and it's a great book, by the way. But
talking seven habits of highly successful people, right?
Highly effective people, yes. Yeah, and it's a great book, actually. But about 1/3 of it is his experience in the Mormon church. 1/3 of it is what he's learned as if a professor who does his research and teaching and all you learn from teaching, right?
Yeah.
And but 1/3 is basically stolen from us, from Lifespring, my original company, and ARC. So our staff reads this book and they recognize that right away, and then they complain. And then they're victims of Stephen Covey, you know. And my point is that whatever your story is, as a leader or your team story, you get trapped by that into not looking at what's really happening, what's really going on, what's really working and not working as a system. You know, and that requires some deeper work. There are not a lot, but a few senior executives that I've worked with who do need to go see a therapist to clear something from their past, to reduce shame or blame or regret or guilt, you know, those kinds of things that they, because they're ambitious, they stuff it, you know.
Right. But it's still part of their underlying story.
Yeah. And it pops out in how they hire, in how they fire, how they manage, how they lead. Yeah. So sometimes people need that deeper work. I'm not a person that does that. I mean, I can help a little, but not a lot. And there are books out there. There is Gino Workman's book, Traction. There is my favorite book of all time, Man's Search for Meaning, the Viktor Frankl book. There are things they can do themselves. There's the Gallup Strength Finder thing. And they're low cost. They can give me a call if they've got one issue that, you know, we'll just talk about it. Maybe we'll work together in the future. Maybe we won't. You know, I love talking to other entrepreneurs. I love working with those issues. And Jeff, maybe it's my ego saying this, I admit, okay, I'm guilty. There are very few problems I haven't already confronted, either successfully or unsuccessfully. And it's not just a truism. I've learned the most from failure, and a willingness to look at that. And, you know, what were the patterns that I had developed that created that failure, right?
Yeah.
Like not being a victim of a betrayal, which was massive, or the economy or whatever, that I'm a source. I'm personally responsible for my organization and its results. So it's a process. Hire me or somebody similar that's been there and done that and has some ability that's proven. You know, I have 1,400,000 people now that have been through programs in companies I founded.
Wow.
I know something about that. I am not a guy at diner in that area.
Well, and that's why this show exists, right? Is because people who have led companies, they've experienced that loneliness or success or the difficult times. And then people who come in, whether you've got the CEO background behind that, or you've just got a capability with training and coaching. Like, we bring people on so that people can be exposed to a lot of different things, you know, and find the ones that they think are going to be a good match for them. And so on that note, give us again a couple of your tell us how people can connect with you. Remind us your book, your website, if you do LinkedIn, things like that, because there might be some people from this podcast listening that say, hey, it sounds like the right thing for me at this point in time.
Certainly the best way is through my website, extraordinarypeople.com.
Okay.
They can sign up for a free weekly easy, and I've been doing for 17 years now. It's an idea that I've come across in a book, a video, a training that I've attended, something, and then my comments on it, all designed to be read in 1 minute or less. And along with that, they're going to get a 28-page PDF of what I've learned about success. And that includes 8 principles and explaining them. That's also free, and it's shareable. You can use it for a team meeting, for your family meetings, for the brown bag lunch. You know, use it any way you want it. And it has been used by a lot of people in a lot of ways. But the best way to reach me is extraordinarypeople.com. If you sign up for the e-zine and you get it every week, if it becomes clutter, it's easy to unsubscribe. But if you want to reach me, hit reply. I read every one of them.
Fantastic. I love that.
And reply to most. Or just give me a call. You know,
awesome.
It's all about relationships, and can we serve each other?
Yeah, at extraordinarypeople.com.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Oh, and you can buy my book there. If you buy it online, or if you buy it on Amazon and stuff, you know, you get the book. If you buy it through my website, I'll sign it for you.
Fantastic. Very good. Well, Robert, this has been really good. It's a great quick hit for our audience to hear these types of things and experiences, and know that, you know, there's help out there. Maybe not therapeutic help in a medical sense from you, but there's coaching and mentoring and training help that they can get and have facilitated sessions if they want that. So thank you so much for joining us on the show, Robert.
My great pleasure.
It's been fun. And thanks to our audience again for joining us for this episode of the Breakout CEO Podcast.
Be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies, to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.